Bucks fans, it's March 1st, and that means all new offers have literally just arrived at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. They are the proud supporters of the Ira Kaufman podcast and all of Ira's work at joebucksfan.com. We appreciate their longtime support, and they've been serving people across Florida more than 70 years of Ed Morse quality and service across the state at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. 2019 Cadillac's special offer, zero down, zero security, zero first payment. You want to see it all at edmorsecadillactampa.com. And there are many other fantastic lease offers, the XT5 crossover, Ira's favorite, the CTS sedan as well. And at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, up to $18,000 off on remaining 2018 models, or 0% APR for 72 months on the 2018 XT5 and Escalade. It's all backed by Morse. Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon is right there on Causeway Boulevard. And get to edmorsecadillacbrandon.com to see their Tournament of Savings Move Up sales event as well. We appreciate their support. And here is Ira Kaufman on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, the Ira Kaufman Podcast is on. The sage of Tampa Bay sports is flying high. No more Robert Kraft talk today, Ira, even though you broke podcast records with that last performance. Sage, the podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Their websites, edmorsecadillactampa.com and edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. Ira, how are you today?
I'm the only guy in the world trying to put a little perspective on this Bob Kraft episode. You're right, we're not going to go over it again. I said my piece, and quite a piece it was, Steven. But let's not lose our heads over Robert Kraft over here, unless you can link the man to the real story, which is the trafficking. We got plenty of Buck news to talk about, Stevie.
And that instant classic episode is available at iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, right at joebucksfan.com. And, of course, there was tons of Bucks chatter in there as well, Ira. But things heated up. The Combine is in full force. Lee DeCamper, the other Joe, is out there, so it's just the two of us here. And
speaking of human trafficking, look at what's going on at the Indy Combine. You got plenty of trafficking going on and a lot of lying going on, which we will get into in this podcast.
Yeah, a lot of BS flowing, and we're not trying to make light of human trafficking, but good golly, Ira, let's go right to that. You know, the Combine is all about the coach speak and the twisted words and the angles, and everybody loves everybody, and then
and reveal nothing, and absolutely reveal nothing.
And half of them are gone the next week. You know, and some things are revealed and they're legitimate, but there was a lot of smoke being blown yesterday by Jason Light and Bruce Arians. Of all that smoke that was flying around, what stood out to you, or what do you think the fans should dial in on?
Well, Steve, a lot of times, and I've been into the Combine many times, sometimes it's what you don't say or how you say things that are more important than what you say. For example, look at Steve Keim from Arizona. What's the big takeaway from yesterday with all the Arizona writers? It was on the national shows today. Well, he was asked about Josh Rosen, and he said, Josh Rosen's our quarterback right now. Well, when you throw in the right now, and everybody, you know, is thinking about Kyler Murray, and he could be the number one pick, even though they took Rosen last year, people are still linking Murray with the number one pick to Arizona. So how does that relate to the Bucks? Well, correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, but the last time I looked, Gerald McCoy was on the contract. He's not an unrestricted free agent. He's not a restricted free agent. He's under contract. And this ain't the last year of his contract, by the way, either. And along those lines, when Light was asked directly about Gerald McCoy, he didn't say McCoy's going to be a Buck in 2019. He could have said that. It's within his purview to say it. He's not a free agent. He didn't say it. Well, when you don't say it, people are naturally saying, you know, things can change. Who says McCoy's going to be on the Bucks? It seems apparent to me, Steve, you might have a different take on it. But the reason he's hedging on McCoy is, you know, McCoy's going to have to come and meet the Bucks halfway in terms of a salary adjustment. And he might not be the only one. The Bucks need some cap relief. You know, they're about to franchise Donovan Smith. I can't imagine that Bruce Arians is going to sign off on a four-year extension for Donovan Smith. That's not going to happen. They're trying to keep Adam Humphries. His value has gone up quite a bit. So whether it's McCoy or DeSean Jackson, they can't give definitive answers right now because they're in negotiations right now for these so-called salary adjustments. And you and I don't know exactly what McCoy's agent and Jackson's agent, what their reaction to all this is going to be. Maybe McCoy will challenge the Bucks. I'm not cutting back on my salary.
Well, you're making a lot of steps here, Ira. Look, what's odd is that Light, I've never heard this before. I'll just be straight, Ira. I've been around a while, not as long as your 70 years covering the league. But I've never seen a coaching staff and a personnel staff like the Bucks talking about, quote-unquote, keeping guys and hoping they come back when they're actually on the team. And now we've seen it twice with McCoy and with DeSean Jackson. What? He's on the team. But McCoy, think about it. The guy's been here 9 years. He's a face of the franchise type of player.
A guy that I say is going to be in the Ring of Honor. That's a whole nother
exactly.
That's a whole nother argument.
So it's just very odd. Now, I'm going to let the listeners right now, Ira, hear the audio of Jason Light off the podium at the Combine.
A little scrum.
A little scrum to the side with Lee and other local Bucks writers out there. And this is what he had to say. And hear the dancing if you haven't heard it yet.
Jason, can you definitively say that Gerald McCoy will be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer in 2019?
You know, it's just hard to say that about any player right now. We have so much between now and through free agency, the draft, OTAs, offseason, that I can just say definitively on just about anyone. So I can tell you he's a great player, and ideally love to have him.
But I mean, but you can say that about Mike Evans. You can say that about Ali Marpet and
James Winston.
Why can't you say it about Gerald?
Well, I can say that ideally that we want to have Gerald here.
Well, he's under contract. So
he's under contract.
Then he's your guy if you say he's back.
You just said it. He's under contract. And I want him to be back.
Okay. Same with DeSean Jackson?
Love to have DeSean back.
Same with everyone you have under contract?
Correct.
Okay.
Ira, that was a hell of a performance by Jason Light, but it's mind-boggling because why won't he just say McCoy's on the team? This is silly, but he won't say that. I don't think they're going to restructure with McCoy, Ira, until the very last minute. So when I say that, I mean they can hold McCoy all the way through training camp because his money's not guaranteed until he is on that roster.
But that won't give him salary cap relief going into free agency.
No,
Steve.
It won't give him relief into free agency, but if they go over in free agency and they need to shave some cap and they say to McCoy, look, man, we'll give you $8 million this year and a $12 million option for next year. Otherwise you're out of here. You know, maybe it forces him to take that pay cut.
And it's important to repeat, Steve, you made a great point a couple of weeks ago. I think you should repeat it. You don't face penalties going over the cap until a certain date. They don't nail you on May 15th because you're over the cap.
For example, the Eagles are known to be over the cap, and they're going to be over the cap with their various guys that they got to sign, you know, so they have to pick and choose. But you can go over the cap, but typically teams go over and drop a guy at the same time, almost like what the Bucks did with Anthony Collins and Donald Penn, but they weren't up against the cap. But the point is that it's all about where you are with your cap on September 1st, when those cuts come, and that's why we always hear in August, oh, who might be a salary cap casualty in August? That's why you have those reports in August.
Exactly. You know, on the whole topic of free agency, there's a great dance going on. And by the way, one thing that slipped through the cracks yesterday, maybe you heard something, I didn't, but I know Arians and Light did a lot of interviews, and I didn't hear anybody talk about the Honey Badger, any interest in him. I don't know how much Light could have said about him, but you know Arians, he's not that circumspect. He might have let something slip, Arians.
Yeah, he didn't get any questions about him. I heard him on Sirius Radio this morning with Alex Marvez, and I was surprised that he didn't get any Tyrann Mathieu questions, but I did listen to Bill O'Brien, who coached Mathieu last year on a one-year deal. You know, there was all that weird stuff going on with safeties weren't signed last year.
Doesn't it seem like Mathieu should be 29 or 30 years old? We've been talking about this guy for a long time.
It doesn't feel like 26, but I'll tell you that. And I couldn't believe the depth of love in the voice of Bill O'Brien talking about not just how Mathieu was a great player and plays taller and bigger than his size, but that he was just such a massive locker room presence. The Texans defense, with a lot of veterans and a lot of great players and an established defense, voted him captain, coming in off the street. which is pretty impressive. And
boy, that's an intangible the Bucks are really crying out for.
Desperate, in my opinion. You know what? I'd love to see
and
Matthew.
And having said all that, O'Brien never said that he was that they were going to keep him.
Yeah, never said that. But going back to McCoy, who knows? What did you make of the DeSean Jackson dancing? You know, everybody loves him. They talked. It went good from our perspective. We want him on the team. What's going on here, Ira?
You used the right word. It was talk. It was chatter. In the words of my column the other day, it was pablum. It was smoke. It was camouflage. Look, Steve, when you really look at it and boil it down, does DeSean Jackson really make sense for this team? Unless he takes a massive a cut in salary, which he's not going to do. The strength of this team, as I pointed out, they're top heavy. Very strong on the targets. Even if Humphrey goes, and even if Jackson goes, you got Evans and Godwin. You got the two tight ends. You're going to bring in another receiver. That's the least of Bruce Arians' problems when he's thinking about how am I going to improve and elevate Jameis Winston to the next level. He's not thinking about getting them better targets. Evans is a monster. Godwin's coming on strong. Howard, if he stays healthy, could be the next Gronkowski. And Cameron Brate's a strong red zone presence. So, this thing about DeSean Jackson, he's got no rapport, absolutely no rapport with Winston. I don't want to hear all these talks about how great these chats are going between Jackson and Winston. He can't hit him, Steve. He's had him for 2 years and he can't hit him. Fitzpatrick had no problem hitting him. There's also a problem that Arians alluded to. He said, I don't think it would happen, but it has happened in the NFL, and that's with a guy like Jackson aboard, and Arians likes to use the word diva. He's used it for Antonio Brown. There's a tendency to the guys in the quarterback's head. Hey, I got to get this guy the ball. That's a problem.
Yeah, it was very interesting. I thought Arians admitting yesterday that Ryan Fitzpatrick, having a guy like that with a strong locker room presence and a split locker room mentality isn't good for Jameis. And I thought that was, I don't know. I mean, I know it was such a unique situation last year, but I hope it's just tied to that. Not he thinks Jameis is so immature that he can't handle a great backup in the room.
I know some fans are interpreting that that way. Why should we put all our faith in Winston if he can't even handle Fitzpatrick standing behind him? I think Fitzpatrick's gone. I think you think Fitzpatrick's gone. We'll see who the backup is. I think it's going to be a veteran, a Blaine Gabbert type, a Drew Stanton type that doesn't make a lot of money.
And both are not available as of now.
But there are guys out there. Yeah. There are guys out there. I don't think it'll be a guy that's never taken an NFL snap, Steve.
I'd be really surprised. Jason Light, though, did glow about his guy, Ryan Griffin. Like I said last podcast, I assume Griffin will be in here to compete for a third string if they go with three or, as a body. Now, this is important, very important. And if anybody who hasn't read your column yesterday, I threw a headline on there, 8 takeaways from the Arians Light Chatter. I suggest you go and read it. All of Ira's work, of course, is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac, Brandon, and Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Hillsborough County's Cadillac dealerships. Sage, a couple of pieces of real news. Twice, Bruce Arians explained that he is just absolutely in love with Peyton Barber. The first time, he explained not just in, as we say often, how you say things is important, and I believe that too. That's what we do studying at Joe Bucks Fan University, how people say things. He said he wants to build around Peyton Barber. When you watch him and how he runs and how hard he is and what he looks like in his feet and how he moves for his size and the effort, he said, quote, that's a guy I want to build around. That's strong. And then later he was asked, hey, after you watched all the film, Bruce, which guys looked a lot better than you thought they did once you really got to study him versus from afar? And he said, Mike Evans, Lavonte David, and Peyton Barber. And then he expanded on Peyton Barber saying, woof, this guy, I like that guy. What do you make of that?
I think you've heard me on this podcast say he's a 1,000-yard rusher if you can get some run blocking for him. Arians made my points for me, Steve. He gets everything that's out there, plus an extra yard. He falls forward all the time. He's a physical back. I don't like defining people by what they're not. He's not Ezekiel Elliott. He's not Alvin Kamara. He's not. He's not electric. But there's plenty of backs in this league on good running teams that are just solid backs, and the team runs the ball well. And that can happen in Tampa if you can get a new right guard, if you can get a right tackle to compete with DeMar Dotson, and if you can coach up Donovan Smith. Now, those are three ifs. So far, they're 0-3 on those. DeMar Dotson hasn't had any challenges at right tackle. Benenock was a quote-unquote disaster last year, who's now no longer going to compete at the guard position, if he's even on this team. And Donovan Smith stuck in the middle of the pack with a lousy group of left tackles on the free agent market and not an outstanding group of left tackles, at the top of the draft. So, you know, Donovan Smith's timing isn't bad. It's not bad.
It's fantastic. Hey, before you keep rolling, Donovan Smith, you know, Jason Light said that he would be negotiating a long-term deal with Smith this
week.
It doesn't mean it'll happen. Otherwise, the franchise tag is very likely. Now, if you're Donovan Smith, and I'm just throwing this out there as a regular guy, you know, we're all just humans living in the world sitting here. Sage, if you're Donovan Smith and the Bucks say to you, well, franchise tag is $15.2 million or so, Donovan, but we'd love to guarantee you $26 million for the next 2 years, guarantee you right now, that puts an extra, you know, $9 million in your pocket, $11 million in your pocket, no matter what, even if you blow your knee out in preseason, will you take it? You know, to me, as just a guy on the outside who's not a millionaire, gosh, that's so hard to turn down. And you know Smith probably would do it. What do you think there?
Your instincts are right. Smith likes being a Buccaneer. I think he's curious to see what a new coaching staff can do for him. He's got Winston's back. Winston's got Smith's back. He likes playing alongside Marpet. Jason Light, he's got a GM that believes in him. I think your instincts are right. I think he'd be well tempted to sign a long-term deal if the numbers are right and if the Bucks can satisfy his demands. You know, my caution is, do I really want to lock into Donovan Smith for 4 or 5 years if I'm Bruce Arians? I've never seen the guy play in person, probably. It's such an important position, the number two position on offense behind the guy under center. That's a heck of a leap of faith that my coaches can get this guy to a top 10 level. Steve?
Yeah, it will be interesting. I mean, obviously, if Light's going to be talking about a long-term contract again with Smith this week, maybe 2.5 years are guaranteed. I don't know, Ira. I don't know who's going to where the interest level really is, but that's what the personnel department does. They have to look at the left tackle market for 2020 and make a decision. And as Lee has said many times, you know, who knows what the next collective bargaining agreement looks like. Maybe you want Smith locked up for 2 years and you worry about it later. I don't know.
Steve, at least there's no consideration of moving Smith out of left tackle, whereas this team, whether it's Benenock or whether it's some guys in the secondary, they're all over the place, Steve. They're not sure what position these guys are suited for. Isn't that what your personnel department's supposed to be doing? Projecting these guys and where they fit? What's going on there?
Well, I mean, gosh, there's a lot going on there. I don't even know where to start. But Ira, Ronald Jones, there was a lot of love for Ronald Jones. I had to laugh when Jason Light said, well, you know, he came into the league at 20 years old. Dude, you're the one who drafted him at 20 years old. Don't use that as an excuse for a crappy first year, even if it's a shred of an excuse.
If he can't catch the ball, by the way, Steve, any better than he's shown, I don't think Bruce Arians is going to have a lot of use for Ronald Jones. He better work on his hands. He better.
Absolutely, Ira. So anything else from the Smoke and Mirror show? I got a good laugh hearing that Bruce Arians, when he was asked about money for DeSean Jackson and on that sidebar chat that the fans haven't heard, when he was asked about money, well, is he worth $10 million? And Arians laughed. He said, oh, I don't care about the money. The money doesn't mean anything to me. I just care about the players.
I think that was very honest of Arians. He doesn't care about the money.
Right. But you know he ultimately does because they're in those meetings figuring out prioritizing free agents and where are we going to spend this money. And Arians is running this ship. I don't think for
a second.
Yeah,
but when Light says to Arians that we can't afford him at the money he's making, Arians doesn't want to hear it. He wants good football players. A GM and coach always look at things with divergent visions. They do, Steve, just the way it is. I understand what you're saying, but until Arians moves into the front office, if he ever does, he cares about the roster, the depth chart, and he's going to leave the money up to Light and Greenberg.
this sort of flows into it and goes back to McCoy a little bit. You think Arians is saying, these are the guys I want. Let's do everything we can to see if we can do that, and then we'll shave off from there.
Yeah, so like I maybe think he's all about the nucleus, yes.
So maybe McCoy's on that fringe of I want him, but you know, maybe he's the fourth guy I want, and if I can't get that guy or keep that guy, you think that's the scenario?
I think that's fair enough. I'm not sure that Kwon Alexander is on the Arians list. He might be on the light list. I'm not sure he's on the Arians list.
Yeah, I think reality, Ira, how could he be on Arians' list? Because Arians comes in with the mindset of, this guy's got a blown knee. What good is he? So I just don't see how he could care. Light said yesterday about Kwon, you know, organization takes a lot of pride and has a lot of good feelings about where how he's developed from a fourth-round pick. But that doesn't represent Arians. And that's a good example.
And along those lines, you know, you got the strange, and I do use the word strange, the strange case of Kendall Beckwith. What's going on? We'll know more in a month. Well, we need another X-ray? What is going on? Does he mean when he can't mean when OTAs start. That's not till April. So I'm not sure what Light's referring
to. Yeah, I wanted to clarify that because I think it is pretty clear to me anyway. Look, the Bucks don't report back until April 1st. Okay, so if Kendall Beckwith is not on some sort of team rehab situation, then what's Light going to say? He hasn't looked at the guy since January. So when he'll come in and have his physical, that's when they'll have an evaluation of what they're going to do with him. But there's a good chance that Kendall Beckwith is just back home, out of town, and doing his own thing and telling the Bucks, yeah, I feel good.
You know, at this point, Steve, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. I think there's a chance Beckwith could be done.
Yeah.
There's a chance.
Yeah, Light was not encouraging.
And Buck fans don't want to hear that. And who wants to hear it? Because the guy could be a good player.
Certainly a grim type of situation for Light as far as I got the feeling that, and also from things I was told, that maybe Beckwith never got past, like he recovered, but not back to what he needed to be. And if that's still the case, when he comes back, that he's 85% of the ankle of that he used to be, that maybe they'll just write him off.
His game's based on quickness, Steve. He's not a big physical linebacker. He's quick. Quick to the ball. Swarm.
Yeah,
and if he loses a step, Steve, that could be enough to really endanger his pro career.
Yeah, he's pretty big, but still, you need that step. Sage, it drives me insane. So you set me up for it before, but I didn't want to raise my blood pressure.
I know Vernon Hargraves is around the corner somewhere, but I can just see it in your eyes over there, Steve.
In the chatter about the secondary yesterday.
And Arians is worried about the secondary. Let's get that down right now. He's worried.
Of the one negative thing that he threw out there on Sirius this morning was the secondary, that he's concerned about the youth back there. And he said, I think those guys are better at press coverage than playing off coverage, but I don't know. And there's a lot to determine there.
Boy, they've used a lot of draft capital, Steve, the last few years on that secondary. A lot of capital.
So it leads you to believe that they'll chase a veteran corner.
Yes.
And Tyrann Mathieu, we
or
touched
safety.
On.
Yeah.
You know, look, if that's where Arians sees the need, and if he's not shy about, hey, we have a need there, you have to think, just logically, that they will look there in the draft because the head coach sees a need there. But
speaking of veteran corners, I don't want a veteran corner if the guy can't play. Just the fact that he's a veteran, I don't want Robert Alford. You know, I don't want guys that can't help. So you better be able to play just because even Claiborne. I'm very ambivalent about Claiborne. The guy's got to help me on the field. I'm less interested in his intangibles at this point than a guy who can stick with somebody on the field.
Yeah, well, Maurice Claiborne's most interesting because
he's had an up-and-down career.
Well, Bowles just had him. So Bowles knows everything about him.
Could be a late bloomer. I mean, his first 4 years were terrible.
No, not very good. And no one's confusing him with a great cornerback, but they got to do something. Yeah, so that was interesting. But the part that's making my blood pressure rise, Ira, I don't even want to get into it myself. You can expound on it. Jason Light said that MJ Stewart's a safety yesterday, that they see him as a safety. That means you drafted a corner in the second round who was really a safety. And if you drafted a safety in the second round, that's back-to-back years, and he's not even good enough to start. It's just a mess. That's terrible. And then in 2016, They drafted Hargraves, who seems like he's a nickel, not the number 10 overall, 12 overall pick. And Ryan Smith, he was a corner in college. They made him a safety. It didn't work out. They moved him around. They made him the kick returner. He was the worst in the league. It feels like a colossal personnel failure.
And you can add Benenock to the mix, who doesn't, grade out at guard anymore, but was drafted as a guard. So, Steve, the draft and development, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Light say something about, we think we've done a good job of drafting and developing? I thought I heard something like that. Throw that into the mix of this swirl of nonsense that comes out of Indianapolis every February. He also talked up Hargraves like he was Rondé Barber. He can play nickel. He can play cover. Come on. Well, the facts on Hargraves is he has shown minimal skills to be an outstanding NFL player. He might be an okay NFL player, but he was picked high in the draft. You want that first-round pick. If he's not going to be elite, he's going to be top 10 at his position. Top 10 at his position in a 32-team league, Steve, I don't think is too much to ask after a few years for a first-round pick. And I don't think the Bucs are getting that right now. And you got the injury factor with Hargraves.
If you did the homework, Ira, I'm going to suggest a column to the great Sage. If you do the homework on Jason Light's record at defensive back, cornerback, safety, since he's been the Bucs general manager, that's quite a list of scary list. If you really start to break that down.
You would start with Ryan Smith, maybe?
Well, just start with year one, Alteron Verner, and just keep going. And then, we're going to upgrade by going out and getting Chris Conte. What do you think Chris Conte's going to command on the free agent market this year, Ira?
Very little.
Yeah, very little.
Very little.
And it's just...
Now, somebody might say those were Lovie Smith picks,
Sure, but who decided to keep him on Dirk Cutter's roster? Jason Light. Conte got another contract. Here he is, so... They all must have loved Conte if he was willing to bring him back.
What about this third-year safety? You got any confidence that he's going to develop into a stud player, their second-round pick in 2017?
I'm going to allow for the fact that the coaching probably was subpar, and we'll see. But I have no confidence in Justin
Evans. I thought he went a little backwards last year. Thought he went a little backwards. Sort of like Bradley McDougald went a little backwards as a Buck.
Well, that's part of your column.
As a Buck. There's another guy you can throw in the mix. A
little bit of your column right there. But Light is the one who decided not to pay McDougal, let him walk, after he had success in the system in 2016, top third down defense in the National Football League, and you let your safety walk out the door at 25-26, and he's a Pro Bowl alternate now.
Why don't these young players develop at one Buck place?
I don't know.
Are they poor picks or poor coaching or both?
It's probably both. I mean, there's the suspect coaching, but also the GM's job is to pick the right guy for the scheme and for the coaching staff, and something's just off there, way off. I mean, look at even Brent Grimes last year. Yes, he had a good first 2 years, and he was a smart pickup by this organization. But
It was hard not to re-sign him, though, Steve, to be fair.
Right, because you boxed yourself in.
Yes.
And that's where they chose to spend the money. But you re-signed him, and then before he even gets on the field, he's got money issues and is pissed off and doesn't want to play.
That's the Hargraves factor. If Hargraves had developed or stayed injury-free, maybe you don't re-sign Grimes.
Right, or if you just know who you want in the free agent market, but they were boxed in by their poor decisions, and they think about it. They re-signed a guy in free agency who didn't want to play. By the first game he was eligible, he didn't want to play. He didn't want to cover Antonio Brown. It said it ruined his
whole
vibe.
Antonio Brown. Yeah.
So before game one, he got his check. He didn't want to play. Mr. Light, please understand and learn from that that's exactly what could happen if you're dumb enough to bring DeSean Jackson back next season. He'll get his check.
And he doesn't get the ball in the first month
of the
season.
Yeah, I don't like this. I don't like the way I'm being used. I want out. Don't do it. Use the money, sign elsewhere. By the way,
now you read everything, Steve. Whatever I read, you read three times that amount. You listen to everything. And I wrote this column a couple weeks ago, and I read the comments. The first comment I'm saying is, who says this guy is coming to the Bucs? Who says the Bucs are even interested? I wrote a whole column about how they should not pursue this guy. First comment I read is, you're making up a straw man. Now, Steve, that guy is Antonio Brown. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Antonio Brown, in some circles, some, maybe not all, or most, is being linked to the Bucks. Am I wrong?
He has been, but the Bucks killed that and never made any sense, as you wrote.
It doesn't make any sense. Steve, with Todd Bowles, the relationship between him and Arians, and they both know what each other wants, and Light was with them in Arizona for 1 year, 2013, before he came to Tampa. How do you think that's going to affect the defensive players that they target in the draft and free agency for the particular scheme that Bowles and Arians likes to play? You think it's going to be a marked difference than what we've seen here in the past?
Yeah, I think it'll be everything, really. I think just even after listening to Arians today, and in addition to almost an hour yesterday, I think it'll be very simple. Arians is going to ask, they already know, obviously, but he'll find out from Bowles, what do you need? What is your priority list? And whatever's number one on that list is what they're going to go and get Bowles. Whether that is a Matthew, if they can't get him, they will draft cornerback early if there's a guy or two he likes there.
Another 3-4 linebacker?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you never know if the Bucks become a player for one of the big names linebackers if they come out, like a C.J. Mosley or a Barr.
Maybe even Justin Houston would interest them.
It's possible, but, the situation at linebacker now becomes dire, right? We've just learned that Kwan's going to test the market, and we heard it from Kwan. Now we know it from Light.
And we've just learned that they don't know about Beckwith.
Beckwith's an unknown, so you're going to play a 3-4 with Noah Spence, Lavonne David, and
maybe that's why Dungy and some others didn't think that the Bucks had the personnel to go to a 3-4.
Sure. I believe what you were saying is Bowles is going to pick and choose. He'll set his priority list, and that's what they will attack in free agency, and then they'll go get it in the draft because Arians has got to be happy with his offense. He said I've heard him talk so many times, I don't even remember. I think it was with Mike Florio. He told Florio, I asked my offensive coaches, what do you need? You've watched all the film, each of them, what do you need? They all said, we're good with what we got. We got a lot to work with here.
Not on the line.
This is what Arians said, every one of them. So it doesn't mean that we couldn't use somebody here, but it led me to believe maybe they dug a little deeper on Kappa and thought, hey, we can work with this guy.
As far as the defense is concerned, Steve, I don't want to oversimplify this, but I think in Arian's mind, and maybe Light's mind, more just as importantly, I think they think better coaching is going to go a long way in helping this defense. They've used a lot of capital on defense, draft, free agency. The pass rush wasn't bad last year. Wasn't great, but it was much improved over the year before. I don't think they feel that the defense was well coached last year. I think that's a prevalent feeling from the GM on down to the new coaching staff. They didn't get the value out of these players, out of this talent. And, I hear some people say, well, their offense is set. Why would they go and add some? Well, I'll tell you why. What's not set is the running game. And I know it's been devalued. I understand that, with the league and the rules. But New England just showed me, Steve, they just showed it to me, that if you can run the ball when you want to run it successfully, and you got all kinds of second and fours and third and ones all over the place, and your defense is rested, that goes a long way. You establish some physicality, and the Bucks don't do that. The Bucks don't do it. They haven't done it for 3 years. All 3 years of Dirk Cutter's regime, they haven't been a physical football team. They want to be a badass football team. It didn't happen. Badass means what do the offensive linemen want to do? They don't want to drop back in pass protection 45 times. They want to trample people and impose their will on defensive lines.
The Bucs offensive line, they do, really?
Well, that's what they want to do.
You sure?
I had a stat there. I don't know if I knocked you off your seat yesterday, or I don't know if you stand when you read my column, or you might sit.
Yeah, I stand and salute, Ira.
They have not won a game. Not one. In the last 4 years. When they've run the ball 20 or fewer times. 0-11. Zero. Nada. Bagel. That's stunning. That's stunning. Now, part of it, they fall behind in some of these road games. We all know that. But not every game for 4 years. You got to have a little balance. And Arians is a big believer in it.
Sure, and Ira, I don't even think the running game has been devalued. I think it's making a comeback. You still got Todd Gurley with running for 17 touchdowns, even when he was banged up and missed a couple of games running for him. Look at this.
The Browns just took Kareem Hunt, they already got Nick Chubb.
Exactly, and the Browns and the Saints, multifaceted rushing attack.
They went 7-9 three straight years, Steve, because they couldn't run the ball.
Right, and now 2 years in a row they can run the ball. They're back, and it goes on and on down the line.
Dallas is a perennial playoff team.
Exactly, right, and I don't think it's been as devalued as people think. And look, there's a lot of ways to look at that. All right, Sage, we're going to send it out. We'll be back, of course, next week with more goodies. There's so much more to dive into.
And Lee will be back. Give us a couple of nuggets.
Lee will be back. I know that Lee spoke extensively with George Warhop. Now,
and he spoke briefly with Dirk Cutter.
Yeah, and Cutter did not give him the cold shoulder. I don't want to imply anything, but he did talk for a while with Warhop. Unfortunately, I'm sure all of that was off the record, but it does give people a little idea of how we learn stuff and put pieces together. And, I know Lee's going to say that some of what Warhop told him doesn't jibe with stuff that players have told us. So, who knows? But it goes back to the shenanigans and nonsense that is the combine, that is coaching. Would you like to see, Ira, I mean, you can send us out on this, would you like to see maybe once coaches and GMs be more transparent just for the fans? And even if it's like after a season, I don't know. It just feels
they don't owe you anything, Isbitz. How do you like that? They don't owe you nothing. Their allegiance is to the organization. They don't want to give out any trade secrets over there, Isbitz. And why should they give you fresh material? You got to work for it, my man. Work for it, Steve.
All right, get out of here, Ira.